Blog Talk Radio.
Give me that joy I can't explain, an extra peace that'll ease my pain. Give all that love that'll never change. Give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that. Give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that, give me that.
Oh, anybody ready?
Oh,
ready for His glory?
Oh.
Sick of a life.
Uh-oh.
Let me tell you the story.
Uh-oh.
Every place that's dark.
Uh-oh.
He will bring it to light.
Uh-oh.
Hypocritical hearts, backsliders, liars. Time to get right.
Uh-oh.
See, I include myself.
Uh-oh.
I cast my own stone.
Uh-oh.
I'm the man in the mirror, y'all.
Uh-oh.
I can see my wrong. Through Christ by faith,
uh-oh.
I had to make that choice. I had to open up my mouth and say,
give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll ease my pain. All that love that'll never change. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that,
give me that.
Give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that.
Uh-oh.
Anybody tired?
Uh-oh.
You want the show to end?
Uh-oh.
Get the actors off stage.
Uh-oh.
And let church begin.
Uh-oh.
Do you want a revolution?
Uh-oh.
You want to hear new songs?
New songs.
See, God is cleaning up house.
Uh-oh.
At first he started right at home.
Uh-oh.
Now my miracle water. Calls for money and fame.
See,
everybody got a title.
Uh-oh.
But do you know your name?
Uh-oh.
If we humble ourselves, people,
uh-oh.
Fall on our face.
Uh-oh.
And ask God, everything in me that's not right, take it away.
Yeah, give me that joy that I can't explain. An extra peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Ooh, I want the power to walk away.
I do.
When another God wants to take your place. As much of you, Lord, as I could take.
I see you.
Give me that.
One more time.
Give me that.
One more time.
Yeah, give me that joy that I can't explain. And it's your peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Ooh, give me the power to walk away. Another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that. Give me that. And I choose you today. Cause I need you today. I can't get away. See, there's no escape. See what you've done to me. I'm not the same old me. You took away everything. Now you're my enemy.
From you.
See, there's no escape.
Get what you done to your boy.
What you done to me.
I'm not the same old me.
I'm not the same old me.
You took everything.
You took away everything.
And now you're my everything.
Now you're my everything.
Holy.
Give me that God who breathes life into the nostrils of man. Sovereign God who predestined creation before time began. I want the God who would really and sincerely
against that great darkness with stars. The God who orchestrates the future, at the same time he knows where you are. Give me that God who supplies my needs, cause he owns all the cattle on the hill. And he's the God who wipes my tears, every father enough to pay all my bills. And give me that God, that's the God I'm talking
give
about.
Me that
give
God.
Me that God, that's the God I'm talking
that
about.
God.
Give me that. Give me that. Give me that.
Alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I have just read you from Colossians chapter 1, first verses of 15 through verses 23. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, most of all the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come tonight, Lord. I come right now taking control over the atmosphere right now on this radio broadcast. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I take control tonight over the atmosphere on the radio broadcast. I take control over the airwaves. In the mighty name of Jesus, I take control tonight over the airwaves. In the mighty name of Jesus, I release your anointing tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I release it over the radio broadcast and over the airwaves, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you right now, Lord, to cancel every assignment of the enemy on tonight. I bind the strong man now in the name of Jesus. You're bound up now in the name of Jesus. Father, cancel every assignment of the enemy right now over these airways, over this radio broadcast, in our homes tonight, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask you right now to let me surrender to the Corban, my will to you, Father. Surrender tonight, Lord, my will unto you, Father. I surrender tonight my will unto you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Not my will, but let your will be done, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I'm surrendering. I know nothing of myself, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let me move myself, remove myself, so that the Holy Ghost may teach your people, in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, Lord. I give you praise. I give you glory tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I repent for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that I committed against you, Father. In the name of Jesus, if I've offended anyone, Lord, please forgive me right now in the name of Jesus. Father, search my heart, our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. If there is anything in there, Lord, that should not be, Father, remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all praise and glory on tonight. We magnify your name. We ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, and thank God. Amen. I'm indeed glad to be here on tonight, and I thank and praise God for Prophetess Watson taking time to engineer on tonight in the name of Jesus. I give God praise and glory for her and her husband on tonight. And to all of you just getting off of work and getting on the radio broadcast and all the radio land, I thank God for each one of you in your respective places. I give reference to Apostle Deans and his absence, and to everyone that's not on the line, I give reference to in the name of Jesus. I'm so full on tonight because, and I'm not going to be but take up a couple of seconds, but this morning, well, Monday morning, I was going through my telephone, and I found where this lady had texted me back in March from the Priest of Word network, TV network. So I responded back to her, and I told her I didn't get the message and what I was doing and then like that, but I just got it on Monday. So she called me back today, this morning, and she wanted me to come on the TV network to be a guest on the Priest of Word network, and she'll let me know in the morning about everything, all the details, and then we talked even more, and she offered our ministry a slot on the TV network, on the Preach the Word TV network. And I, you know, I thank and praise God for it on tonight. And God knows it's only God that opened doors like this for ministry, that I didn't have to go and look or anything. And, you know, it won't stop me from teaching on the radio or doing anything that I was doing. But then we'll have opportunity to go nationwide. You know, it'll be nationwide. It will be on TV, not just Pastor Dean, but the End Time Men, Women of War, and Life Support Outreach Ministry. We will be on the TV network now, Preach the Word TV network, and we'll talk about some things in the morning as God
sees
fit. It's a blessing. It's just a blessing. It's another open door for us to.
Amen.
We'll be knowing
it's
just a blessing. I was so excited. So now God is—he's just opening doors that man can't shut. God opened them, and man can't shut them. And we didn't go look for anyone; they came looking for us. And I'm like, "How did you find me?" She say, "She got it in a text. She emailed me back, and she said when they looking over you, and she said that she had been trying to investigate me or whatever it is, however they she said it. I'm trying to say exactly what she said because it just kind of blew my mind, and I had to wrap my head around this thing because I said, Lord, all this time, wait a minute. No, it's not on there. She was telling me that they had been been looking at me for a while. And I'm not knowing any of this. I'm saying, Lord, these people been, and I haven't done anything, so I don't know what they was really looking at, but I thank and praise God that, you know, you have to always know and do good, you know, because people are watching you. She said, greetings, Apostle Deans. My name is Dr. Clary, and I am a producer with Preach the Word Worldwide Network Television. My job is to seek out our guests that would be a good fit for the Preach the Word show. After some research on you, I find that you have a voice to be heard to the nation. I desire to see the gospel be preached around the world. Please join us. And she got a lot of other things, and she had some contracts for me to sign and stuff like that, which I have not looked over, but she said, the Preach the Word show is the premier flagship show, reaching over 50 million homes throughout the world. The show can be seen on our 24/7 Christian television network on DirecTV, Comcast, Time Warner, something called Roku, ROKU, Smart TVs, and several other television stations within the United States. And, you know, and she, like I say, she had some more other opportunities, and I thank and praise God for her today. We had a very long and good conversation. And it's just an honor. It's a privilege and an honor. And like I told her, I feel like just melting at the feet of Jesus because that's how humble I am. Because y'all always hear me say, I don't know anything, but God know everything. So I thank God that I'm still the same way, and I probably see it every time on television broadcast. I don't know anything. Who am I to know something? It's only God. So I thank and praise God, and you all know to pray for me because I'm still sleepy. I'm still just in shock, I guess, but nevertheless, it's just a television network broadcast, and it's an opportunity for us, so a door open for this ministry to be a mouthpiece television. So, amen, I'm not going to hold too much longer, but we're going to go right on in, and well, I'm this is the thing I want to talk about, what we kind of spoke on last week. It was, can a believer in Christ be demon-possessed? Now, look, I've always, and I had to think about it because I'm teaching out of a book. I feel like, this is how I feel. I feel like Christians, a true believer, and I say that now, I've always thought they could be possessed. I'm just going to be honest with you, because if they leave God, like I explained to you before, I don't want anyone to get it mixed up. If you turn away from God, you can be possessed. If you leave God, you can be possessed. I'm telling you, if you're not with God, then who are you with? If you turn your back on God and don't repent from backsliding, if you backslide, you walking right into the enemy's hands. And that's why I am on it. It's just like the once saved, always saved. I mean, he said you can't be plucked out of his hands, but you can get out. You can get out of there yourself. So that's how I feel, because I start thinking about this. And once you feel like a demon can't do anything to you and you mess around and walk away from God, that demon gonna tear you up. That's what I'm saying. And if you disagree, you can say something, because you just tell me, because this the way, because I thought about it even after I got off the phone and I was talking to my daughter about it. She said, "Mom, you always see it that, you know, you don't believe that." And I don't. I believe that if a believer, you know, we get in our depressions and oppression state sometimes, and we mess around and walk away from God or turn our back on God. See, it's one thing about it. You cannot live any kind of way you want to live and think you're still going to heaven. You're not. I mean, you accept God when you're 8 years old and you just live a raggedy life all your life? Mm-mm. That won't work. God, you got to be holy. You have to do exactly what the Word of God says. I mean, I'm not telling you to wear your skirts, dragging the ground and all this, keep your head covered and all this kind of stuff. But you have to do exactly what the Word of God says. You have to live holy, righteous in your life before God. I'm not trying to impress men. I'm trying to impress Him with the things that I do. My desire is to please God. So I feel like, and I say again, I feel like if you turn your back on God and walk away, a demon will snatch you up so quick. Just like he did Judas. He was a disciple. He got snatched up because he turned his back on Jesus. He got snatched up. He was a believer. He was a disciple. So, and you know, you can be tempted. Because, you know, Jesus, he tried to tell Jesus. You know, I just wanted to set the record straight. Don't go around thinking, okay, I can live any kind of way. I can do anything I want to do. Still be a believer. Still not be possessed or fall or whatever. If Adam fell, you know, Lucifer fell. It's, you know, we have to look at things like that. Adam fell. We're all, you know, fall short, but we don't have to stay there, get back in our spot. You know, it's a whole lot of things we need deliverance from. A whole lot of things. And we think we just, everything is good. But we're going to find out in October. We're going to find out. But Yeah, so, you know, that's what I wanted. I wanted to clear that up first. Does anyone have any questions about it at all? Okay. So we got through that part. Can believers in Christ be demon possessed? And we're gonna go to this one. Should Christians today practice exorcisms or deliverance? And I say they should if they know what they're doing, if they're the right person to do it. In order to fully understand the New Testament teaching concerning casting out demons, let's briefly trace the topic through the Gospels of Acts and the Epistles. 11 demon-related incidents recorded in the first three Gospels. They are three general statements about casting out demons. It's in Matthew 4:24, Matthew 8:16, Luke 7:21. Okay, the demonic of the man, of Gadara, in Jesus cast, let him go in the herd of swine, and then you have a mute man in Matthew chapter 9:32-34. And then you have the this woman's daughter that needed casting a demon cast out in Matthew 15, verses 21-28. And then the boy with the convulsions in Matthew 17. Verses 14-21, the blind and mute man in Matthew 12:22, a man in the Capernaum synagogue on the Sabbath day, Mark chapter 1, verses 22-28, Mary Magdalene in Mark 16:9, a woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath day in Luke 13:10-17, and all of them were delivered. All of them was God, Jesus delivered them. Strictly speaking, there are no exorcisms in the scripture. The word exorcism is never used of expelling a demon from a person. Exorcism refers to casting out of evil spirits by conjurations, incantations, or religious or magical ceremonies. The biblical term is to cast out a demon. The word exorcist appears only in Acts chapter 19, verse 13, and it refers to some unsaved Jew who used magical rituals to attempt to expel the demons. The practice of casting out demons is related to the healing ministry of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then you can find it over in Acts. The 70 who were sent out by Jesus in Luke chapter 10 cast out demons, but they were given a special limited commission by Jesus to go out ahead of him to the cities that he was about to visit. Their ministry was limited in time and geographical location. There is no evidence their special commission were beyond the limited calling. Okay, they would go out before Jesus and do some things, try to cast out and stuff like that. Jesus sent them out. And you can find that in Luke 8:5 and places like that. And, you know, before we studied on what are the signs that someone is demon-possessed, we can develop a kind of possession profile from the cases of demon possession in Scripture. While all of these symptoms may not always be present, there are 10 manifestations of demon possession in the New Testament, and they are superhuman physical strength, that's in Mark 5 and 3, Acts 19 and 16. Demons have that. Fit of rage and ferocious behavior, Mark chapter 5 and 4. High pain tolerance, can stand pain, Mark 5 and 5. Self-mutilation, they cut on themselves, Mark 5 and 5. Foaming at the mouth, Luke 9 and 39. Seizures or convulsions, Luke 9 and 42. Divided personalities, split personalities, Mark 5, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. The demonic ran to Jesus, yet at the same time cried out in fear. Resistant to spiritual things, especially the name of Jesus, Mark 5 and 7. They have clairvoyancy and supernatural knowledge, Mark 5 and 7, Acts 16 and 16. A change in their voice, Mark 5 and 9. And then, if I could, when I was teaching Demonology 101, manifestation take various forms, but the most common ones are burping, foaming, yawning, farting, tears, screaming, sneezing, nasal discharge, spitting, vomiting, choking, burping, roaring, coughing, groaning, crying, quacking, shaking, and sweating. That's how, that's the manifestation of some of them when they need that they have a demon. And that's about 18 of them right there. And some, and these were the same. Some of them were the same on here. They have 10 here in this book, but I have 18 on my in my notebook. And we know, and this says, can people inherit demons or generational spirits? And we know that they can. We know that there are generational spirit, generational curses, because we studied and talked about that at first a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, about breaking generational curses and things. But it says the notion of generational spirit is that demon possession or occult practices can be inherited by children from their parents or other ancestors. All would agree that children inherit characteristics from their parents, but the ideal of generational spirits or transference of demons is another issue altogether. Support for generational cursing is drawn from several Old Testament passages. Exodus 20, chapter 20, verses 4 and 7, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, Numbers 14, verses 17 through 19. And we know that when Jezebel was running around doing, and Ahab was running around doing all that they was doing, they had a daughter. And when she had gotten married or gotten pregnant or whatever and had a son. And so, I mean, all of that stuff went against her. And she was practicing witchcraft and doing everything else. And then her son that she had, he grew up and he didn't know anything about it, practicing anything, but because it was a generational spirit or curse, he got killed from the things that they done. So, you know, that generational thing go back, I guess, to wherever we come from, Africa, wherever we come from, it go back to our ancestors. And that's why we have to break all of those ancestral curses and generational curses. And you can tell how they are, because people have, you know, when you go to the doctor, they want to look back into your past history. And, like, if you had heart problems, or your mother had a bad accident, your mother and father had it, that their parents have it, and just like this diabetes thing, I'm telling you, it goes back way far, because I know my grandmother or my great-grandmother had diabetes, and from her mother, it came down to her, and then my mother, and now to me. So it's years down, but I tell you, it's stopping. The buck stopped with me. Yeah, it stopped, because I broke that generation of curse that my children will not have it, my grandchildren will not have it. In the name of Jesus, that generation of curse is broken off our family. Amen. So, is there any questions?
Amen.
What are they? Okay. And it's in my book says, what is Tartarus and why are some demons there? The term Tartarus appears only once in the New Testament. God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast to hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. That's in 2 Peter verses chapter 2, verse 4. The word cast them into hell translates the verbal form of the Greek word Tartarus. That's what that means, cast into hell. We could say that the angels who sinned were Tartarus. In the Greek methodology, Tartarus was the lowest part of the underworld. The demons who are in prison in Tartarus cannot be there because of their original sin of rebellion. Otherwise, all the demons would be there, including Satan himself. They also cannot be a part of the group of the fallen angels in the abyss in Revelation 9, who are related during the tribulation period, because the angels in Tartarus are permanently bound to the day of judgment. Moreover, Tartarus and the abyss are two different parts. So who are then these fallen angels in Tartarus? I believe they are the fallen angels, the Son of God, the sons of God, who sin in Genesis. Now this, I'm reading this from a book, and I'm not going to believe that until I study that, but I'm just saying what he said. He said, I believe they are the fallen angels, and they got in parentheses, the Son of God, who sin in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. This interpretation is based on two main points. First one is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, lists grave sins of the past, the sin of angels, suing for the sin of people in Noah's day and the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. These sins are all recorded in Genesis and are chronological order. That means the sins of the angels preceded the sin of Noah's day. The only event recorded in Genesis that fit the sin of these angels is in Genesis 6. So, Tartarus is a lower part of hell. And, you know, in the churches, we don't have a lot of the pastors teaching on hell and the abyss. And because when I start looking at that, I'm saying, abyss, what is that? You know, just you have to learn a lot of these things, and because we are in the last days, and we need to know what's going on, where they're coming from. It's a whole another level of these things out here that's been unleashed, I'm telling you. And
I was praying today and listening in the spirit, and I was thinking about the Masonic temple and the Masonic lodges and things, and how it's so, they are so demonic. And if you would study that stuff, you would see the Eastern Stars, how they have a star representing them, and they sitting up chanting the Eastern Stars, and they lie to people, especially the ones in church, and like they doing so much in all this, but they're not. All of that stuff is demonic things, and we should watch out for that. Be careful that you're not in a Masonic lodge, a temple, or an Eastern Star. For that, that's all demonic things. So be careful. I know. And then once one person joins, that thing trickles down through the family, like a generational curse on the family. So you have to be really careful with that. You have to be careful, because just like the steps that you have to take to go in, to be a Mason or Eastern Star, it's a ritual. It's so demonic, because I almost got in it myself. So, and I didn't. God pulled me right on out the way, and they was mad at me. Believe me, my ex-husband is a Mason. And I'm telling you, we have enough stuff tied to us through generational things and our children and things. We need to try not to do a whole lot of that stuff. Learn before you do it. And it's just so many people do it because they don't know. They just don't know. They just don't know. I'm saying, it's like the pastors and the teachers are failing our people, our churches, the believers, you know, because they think they're doing right, you know, because I was right out there. But for some reason, Lord, I went one night, and I listened to them, and they told me everything. And the next night, when it was time to do whatever they do to you, I told the lady, I wasn't coming back. Oh, she got mad at me. She said, you will never, ever get a job here in this state anywhere. And, oh, she just went on and on and on. And that was fine with me, because when you're doing things and you don't look into it, you don't examine it, and you don't study it before you go and try to get into something. Just like, you know, you have to, even in college when you pledge and all that, that stuff is demonic. I'm just telling you the truth. I know a lot of us probably did pledge, but it's not good. It's the demonic stuff. It sure is. So I didn't pledge, but I did almost get in the Eastern Star. So, you know, one thing leads to another. Does anyone have any questions or any comments?
Yes, Apostle, God bless you. I have a question about, you were talking about the different ways that, I think you said that, like, that demons come out in people. When you were talking about, you were describing the foaming at the mouth, the different voices. How do you deal with those different demons when you're ministering, or, and I'm actually trying to figure out, like, how do you get supported when those things are happening? What do you do?
I mean, when you're ministering to someone?
Yes, like when it's happening, how do you
let them come out? You let it come out. It has to come out. You know, I mean, a lot of this, they do it just really messing with you. But that's when you know, because, you know, people are not just going to burp and foam and poop everywhere and screaming and hollering like that, you know it's something there and they're trying to get out. The more you pray and you bind up the strongholds and all that and they try to get out, they gonna make noises. They spit, they vomit, they pee. Y'all seen the Exorcist before, all that kind of stuff. They do that stuff. And you know it's a demon there because he be saying and doing everything. I'm telling you, everything shaking and convulsions, like, you know, and crying and groaning, all that stuff, coughing and all that. They do that. You have to keep pleading the blood of Jesus because that's what they can't stand. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, blood of Jesus. And then you can ask the Father to send the fire down, to burn their butt up, send fire to them. When they're coming out in Jesus' name, they're coming out, you let them go. You can't stop them, just let them go. Don't deal with them because, you know, you can't deal with them, but you can ask them their name or you can stop them from speaking in Jesus' name. You can do that. You can ask them, who are you? And they'll tell you who they are. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a lot. And it's so many different demons. Like, I was looking, where was I at? I was looking at my phone and at this Joshua TV, and these demons, they got demons against families, they got murdering demons, they got demons to break up marriages. They got so many different ones. I tell you, you have to really be careful because it's something for all of this stuff. But you have to plead the blood of Jesus. You have to keep yourself away from stuff like that. Ask God to cover you in the blood of Jesus because I'm telling your marriage, that's why you have to stay prayerful in the word of God, because I tell you what, they got demons to try to distract and destroy everything that the believer does. I tell you, I've been just, you know, I've always taught on it, but I went back over my notes today, and then I had been watching different deliverances on the internet, and I tell you what, it's a lot of things. I tell you, you have to, because I want to know. And I want to know what you can do with them. And all of them are different, but they all hate the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And anyone else?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. This is Prophetess Latriviata. Mm-hmm. I just want to talk about an experience I had when a demon tried to, I guess, attack me. They always try to take me in my sleep for whatever reason. But one time I was asleep and I could just feel my body just shaking and my teeth was shattering and like, but my spirit man just started pleading the blood of Jesus. So when my spirit man started pleading the blood of Jesus and everything, then I automatically knew what was going on. And I woke up having to plead the blood of Jesus, and I started praying that prayer that you sent me, and I haven't experienced that in a minute, but I think that was the incubus and succubus. They try to take me in different ways. Like before, I had a sharp pain in my stomach, didn't understand where they came from. Then at first they was trying to attack me with my baby. I had a dream that my oldest son was possessed. And I wanted to ask you, and I don't think my kids can be possessed, but can children be possessed?
Mm-hmm. Children can be possessed. And I mean, demons can get in children. They can get in animals.
Yeah.
But see, they're not going to, you know, you have to keep them anointed. And you know their names are. They're not going to too quickly attack those children, especially when they got somebody around them that's in the Lord. But when you have nobody around a child, I know a person that didn't know the Lord, or and their parents didn't. And you had to want to ask me something else before I start telling this.
No, you can go ahead.
Okay, I know a person that their parents never were in church and never took them to church, and they didn't know the Lord. And believe me. They said one day they looked in the mirror and looked like they face changed. You see, when you and it probably entered in at a young age. I was looking at some of the demonic deliverances, and the pastor was talking to this thing, and he said, "How did you enter into her?" He said, "In the swimming pool." You know, so you have to be careful. So some of them say I entered in from at birth, in the, you know, when she was being born, and said one lady had lost her placenta or something, and they entered right in. So you got to keep yourself anointed, pray it up, teach your children, live holy in righteousness. I'm telling you, you have to. And live as much as you can, sin free life. You know, as much as you can. We're not perfect by no means, but as much as possible. You know, we always keep the Lord and the Word of God in your heart and mind and spirit. I'm telling you, pray and fast and whatever you have to do, study the Word of God. That's what you have to do to keep yourself and ask God to purge you. Keep purging you, purge you. Mm-hmm. May have your stomach upset at least, but one none. You know you'll be good. So, any more questions? And basically today, I just went back over what I went last week because I wanted to let you all know about, you know, a Christian or a believer being possessed. You know, if you still step away from God, you can be possessed. You turn away from Him, you can be possessed. And I wanted to, that's what I wanted to talk about tonight, because I don't want you to think that that's the worst thing could ever happen. You out here doing everything you want to do anytime and how you want to do it and walk away from God, and you still think you got that, you covered, and you're not. Mm-hmm. You got to live holy. I'm telling you, it's either holiness or hell. There ain't no in between. There is no in between. Mm-mm. You can't be lukewarm. I read something the other day about lukewarm. Warm. You know, it's either holiness or hell. But them demons gonna go after you if you lukewarm. You can't be straddle the fence. You got to come all the way in, all the way in. All the way in, you can't play with God. And you think you're hiding from people and God looking at you. Mm-mm. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, hello, ladies. Yeah. Brother Harold, in my prayer time, meditating time, the Lord was just talking to me about that. Maybe some leaders and then just a lot of people that move and motivated by the doctrines of men, doctrine of devils, and a cohabitation with spirits of devils, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's numerous scriptures where it talks about that. Don't lose the crown. First John, don't lose what you have worked for. There's a whole
mm-hmm.
lot of scriptures that talks about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a pastor, he go around preaching that once you say that even if you live in a homosexual lifestyle, you won't lose your salvation. I'm like,
oh, no. Oh no. That's not true. That's just not true. I just can't not. I can't go with that because you can. It says cannot pluck you out of his hand, but you can step right out of the hand of God, right out of the will of God, and go straight to hell in a handbasket. I'm telling you, you cannot live any kind of way when you walk up to that throne and for your judgment, you're going to say, I never knew you. Never knew you. It's either holiness or hell. There's no in between. I don't care what, and that's just messing people up. That's messing people up. I'm telling you, the only way you're going to get straightened out, you have to repent and turn and turn. Repentance, true repentance, is repenting, sorrowful, and confession, repent. That's true repentance. And you have to mean it in your heart because God looks at the heart. Don't go back and do it next week. You know what I'm saying? And even if you do, you better repent. I'm telling you, repent as much as possible because we don't know everything we're thinking, everything. I mean, this stuff may not be right, you know, in our minds. We pass somebody on the street, look at her, or look at him, or this and that. Just your mind be just going, you know, saying wrong things. You cannot say anything you think you want to say. And you cannot think anything. You think, oh, he looks so good. Look at all her muscles. Or she looks so fine. Oh, nuh-uh. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life will get you to hell real good, real quick. That's it. And for me, I used to probably sugarcoat that word, not unintentionally. But this day and age and in these end times, I will not sugarcoat. Won't find no sugar on my lips. I ain't sugarcoat none. If it hurts your feeling, too bad. I'm not trying to. When we come to this line, to this radio broadcast, you have to take them feelings off your shoulders because we need to know the hard truth, the hard facts, so we'll know what we have to do. You can't play. We cannot. And they are it's too hard. It's so many. Over the last week, I've heard so many different prophecies about what's getting ready to happen. And, you know, I just believe in the truth. Whatever God says is going to happen. I listen to people and this and that. But we got to be running for our life to this word. We got to be praying. We got to fast. We got to consecrate. We have to pray for our city, pray for our nation, pray for the state, pray for those who have rule over us. We got to be in prayer. I feel like I can pray and change the weather. I feel like that. I feel like I know I can. I know I can ask God to have that wind to stop blowing. A tornado could be coming this way. And I feel like if I go in the prayer and ask the Father to change the direction, he would do it. That's how much faith I have in the Father when I pray. I feel like it. I don't care if it's a 100-foot tsunami, whatever it is, that water wave, I feel like if I pray God, he'll spread it out somewhere. I believe it. I have faith enough to know that it'll happen because God. I trust it. And when I pray, I know it's going to happen because he said it. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you in my will, I will do it. So when I ask in the name of Jesus, I'm looking for it to happen. Mhm. Is there any
apostle?
Mhm. I just have a question, you know, just to lay up on everyone's hearts on tonight, and you could debate upon it or that someone could answer the question, but when we are born again Christians, what is actually being born again? Is it our spirit, our bodies, our soul? What actually is born again?
It's the renewing of your mind. I mean, your mind has to be renewed. When you in sin, like we was before we accepted Christ, before we were born again, our mind has to be renewed. You know, that old man.
Let me rephrase that. As far as our body, okay, what is actually born again? Is it our spirit, our body, or our soul that is actually born again?
Well, your soul, I think it's your soul. I have to, because I'm tired now, but I think it's your soul, if that's what you're talking about, because, let me think. And I have to look up, I have to go in the Word of God about that, because I want to really take a look at it, because where our spirit goes to the Lord.
Here she comes. How you doing? Glory be to God.
Here she comes.
It's your spirit that is born.
Amen.
Again, when we are born in our flesh, we have our natural human spirit. You know, we automatically know to do wrong instantly. We do the spirit of man.
Amen.
Period. Just a regular
That's
spirit.
Fine.
But when we're born again, like Nicodemus asked Jesus the same question you're asking us.
Mm-hmm.
He says, how is it that a man be born again? Can he go and re-enter into his mother's womb in order to be born again? And Jesus says, no. But can you see this? Can you see the wind? And he said, no. He said, it's a spirit. You have to be born by faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spiritual rebirth by faith. You have to believe it to receive it.
Yeah,
and when you believe it, you can receive a new birth. And once you receive, then that's when God says, okay, you're reborn. Old things have passed away. Now you are a new creature. But now you got to get all the old stuff that you were born in, the flesh. You got to get that to line up with what you believe, which is a spiritual thing. Now your mind is open spiritually. Your soul, everything is now open spiritually. When you say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart, my life, I give my soul to you, I repent, spiritual rebirth takes place by the confession of your mouth. And so when that happens to you, you're reborn. Now you're open. Guess what? You're open to spiritual things. Before you wasn't. If you notice, you talk to somebody who ain't saved, and you try to tell them spiritual things, they have no understanding of what you're saying.
No understanding.
And you sound like a crazy woman. But see, when you become born again, now spiritual things start to happen. Now you start to notice stuff. Now you start to get sensitive, because your spirit is now awakened. You are a spiritual being. You are born of a new spirit, and that's what's born. And then the second process of that rebirth is that mind, like Apostle was saying. The renewing of the mind is a day-to-day, second-to-second process.
Mm-hmm.
We have to dump the old stuff out of our mind, what we've been taught, what we went through, what we came out of, and we got to take on the biblical mind with the biblical principles of the Spirit, which is in the Word of God, which is through the Word of God. So when we get it like that, then we are fully walking into the new birth and the resurrection of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's you're absolutely right, Apostles, because I know, and I'm a little tired, but that's okay.
I know,
you're
I hear
absolutely
you.
Absolutely right.
You'll bring it back. Amen. You'll bring it back. You'll get it back.
But no, she did a very good job, because I knew it was, I was going to say the spirit, Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm slowing. But I know your mind has to be renewed.
You have to renew your mind. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because you can't do what you used to do.
And that's your soul. And see, that's your soul, your mind,
that's
your
soul.
Will, your emotions,
right.
That mind.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
has to be transformed.
And also,
that's
let me tell
soul.
You this, your mind is your flesh. We refer to it in different ways in the Bible. We say the flesh, or there's two members inside of us that war against your mind, controls
mm-hmm.
your flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your mind controls
mm-hmm.
your flesh, and everything your mind tells your flesh to do, that's what it will do. You understand? So that's why we have
mm-hmm.
to renew it. We can
mm-hmm.
be saved and spiritually born again, but if we still got that same mind, we're going to keep functioning in that same way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It just made me think about Prophetess Latriviata when she said that she was dreaming or something and her body was doing something and her spirit man began to drink the blood of Jesus.
That's
and
right.
It calmed her body, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so that's what brought the question up and everything, you know, that spirit man, that rebirth, that, you know, that Holy Spirit, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, dwelling, that temple, that Holy Spirit began to control that body and, you know, and so that's what made
mm-hmm.
me bring that up. So, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because your spirit, anyway, I don't care if you sleep or not, your spirit always is doing something different to me because a lot
mm-hmm.
of times I'm doing things and I can hear, you know, and if I need to know something or if something comes in my mind, the spirit or say my spirit or start agreeing with the Holy Spirit and I can hear a lot of different things or, you know, you need to go in there and do this or you need to call this person or something like that. My spirit always, I don't care if it's a demon in the room or if it's something present, my spirit feels it and pick it up. And whether you sleep
mm.
or not, it's going to please
mm.
the blood of Jesus. It's going to do what it's supposed to do because
mm.
that's the way it is. Or, you know, if you doing and praying and studying and fasting and stuff every day like that, I
mm-hmm.
think it'll do it. I think it will.
Amen.
Man does it. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's
awesome.
A good question.
Amen.
That's a good question. Anyone else?
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize. I mean, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but I didn't think about it until I was, like, looking at people die. I mean, I started paying attention to people who were dying around me because I went through a phase where everybody was like, I had 9 deaths. I had 2 people die every week. It was 2 people dying back to back.
Mm.
And it was really disturbing and it was really unsettling to me. And I was like, wow, Lord, look at all this. She was just dying, dying, dying. And then I was thinking about, then it was during the time Bobby Christina was brain dead and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was looking at all these different deaths and how people were dying and people were still on the machine, the Holy Spirit said, this is what we don't understand. We are spiritual beings, not just human
mm-hmm.
beings.
Yes,
the human beings
yes.
are people who ain't never reborn. When you get reborn again,
yes,
you're no
Lord.
Longer a human being. You're a spiritual
yes,
being.
Yes,
and now
yes,
the things you deal with is spiritual. You have to think,
Lord,
I am a spiritual
God.
Being. So I mean, when I walk in a room, I do spiritual things. It's things that's around
yes.
me that I may not see in my natural human being sight, but my spiritual
right.
being is alert,
yes.
armed, and dangerous.
Yes.
That's how we supposed
yes.
to be, you know? And
yes.
and that's how it is.
Yes.
And when you are, let me tell you something, your spiritual being, it'll pick up stuff. You'll sense things. You'll know somebody lying as they lying to you. You can look them straight
mm-hmm.
in the face. Your spirit will say,
that's
they
right.
lying.
That's right.
They lying. Just like that. You be like, oh, okay, right then. You know what I'm saying? Your spirit ain't going to be fooled. But so we are spiritual beings. And the more you accept the fact of who you are, guess what? The stronger you become, the more confident you become. You are a spiritual being. We are made fearlessly and wonderfully made. That's what the Word of God
says.
We are fierce. No, Beyonce didn't make the word fierce. It was already written in the Word of God.
Yeah.
He said we're fierce.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So when people say, oh, you like us, and I'm fierce. Oh, you like Beyonce. No, I'm like God. God said I'm fiercely and wonderfully
that's
made.
Right.
You know? So
that's
it's learning who you, learn your identity. And I think that's what we struggle with the most, our identity. Who am I? Who am I in the spiritual realm? Who am I? You know?
Yeah,
I hear Brother Harold in the background.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of people. You know, it's funny. I tell people this all the time. You are a spiritual being, but they revert back. Yeah, but I'm down here. I'm natural. And I tell them, you know what? You got to speak the high thing, who you are first, spiritually.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Well, manifest. I'm going to tell you something. I was meditating on this, and that's the scripture. If any man be in Christ, he a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. So I tell people, this is what the Lord was talking to me about. He said, if I called you new, you a new creature, what do that mean? New means new.
Mm.
And
yes.
So he was. And so when I talk to people, this is what God gave me to tell them. I tell them to close their eyes and see who they are spiritually. And I say, do you see yourself with a missing leg spiritually? Do you see yourself with a missing arm spiritually? You are perfected. And this is the thing, you got to pull it down into your being because you are new. We got to understand that you can't be new and not have a new name. How can you be new? There's a whole, these are mysteries God wants us to search, dig, and pull out. Because it's all part of your sonship. It's all part of your kingship. Our first estate, but it seemed like we became a priest and then a king when he called us to be a king and then a priest.
Yeah.
So I hear the Lord tell me, and I say it a lot of times before I get up out of the bed, that I'm a quickening spirit. I'm a life-giving spirit. I have newness of life. I have the power of the endless life, all spiritual things. And the guy just brought this to my attention yesterday. It was just talking to me before. When we really tap into who we spiritually are, we're going to be doing things at a level, a special level of kingship that this earth has never experienced on a wide scale. It's almost he brought to my vision like people are going to be at two places at the same time because you're going to be moving spiritually. You won't be bound. Now, listen, the Bible said the word of God is not bound. So if you're a spirit, you're not bound either. But when you think it like a spirit, you will have spiritual manifestation.
Hallelujah.
It will reveal what the Bible says to you is given the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You'll start flowing and tapping into the mysteries. Now, I'm going to say one other thing the Lord said. He said, you are in the kingdom of God. What's happening is we're seeking to do things that are possible instead of seeking to do the things that are impossible. Showing that we are peculiar people, that we are particular.
Go ahead on that.
Amen. That's right.
But you know what? I just wanted to say this. You know, that is awesome. You know, but a lot of people are in first base. You know, they're trying to get their body under together. You know, a lot of people are still caught up in sin. You know, and so the first thing we got to do, we got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. You know, you say, well, how can I do that? Well, you let the Holy Spirit lead you, you know, hey, okay, well, you know, I got a hot date. I'm not married. I got a hot date over here. You know, he said he calling me. Well, no, you tell your mind, no, I can't do that. Sin, and then you make that body go somewhere and sit down under the authority of the Holy Ghost. And it's just as simple as that. I know that's not easy, but you let the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit guide that mind, and you bring that body under the subjection of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. It's just like that. You know, that spirit, the Holy Spirit, will lead and guide that mind and that body. Amen. Amen. It should be just like that. But it's so many people not at that level. Believe me. It's so many people not at that level.
I was reading in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, sanctify you completely. And so, you know, it's possible, you know, and a lot of people
it
are still at first base. I'm still at first base. You know, I'm still at first base, you know.
Amen.
God is teaching me. You know, he's teaching me and growing me up. But, you know, he's just teaching me, hey, I'm your leader. The Holy Spirit is here for you, And the Holy Spirit is deposited. He's here. When Jesus left, he left us a comforter to lead and guide us. And we could bring that mind and that will by the transforming and the renewing of our mind. We could bring that body and everything under the protection of Jesus Christ. Under the word of God. We just got to speak to it and make it obey. My fasting and prayer, sit down, you ain't doing nothing. You ain't finna go over nobody's house. Sit down, go somewhere, sit down, pick up the Bible and read, go somewhere and pray. And that's it. Or go shopping
that's
somewhere.
Right.
You know.
That's right.
So, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Harold.
But,
and you're absolutely right. Go ahead, Brother Harold.
No, someone called my name.
Oh no, I just thought you was gonna say something. But you're absolutely right, Prophetess Tabler. It's a lot, and the main thing is being obedient to the Word of God. We can keep the Word of God. We'll get there. Being obedient. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing. We have to stop being rebellious and disobedient and be obedient to the Word of God, and that stuff will line up. It'll line up. But a lot of us, we flush, a lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's what gets us in a lot of trouble. And I know everybody is human, and believe me, I was young myself, still young, but not so young, but young enough. I was doing what I was doing when I was doing it, and I know exactly how you have to get that. Now, you know, it takes time when you're young, and but if you come up in that order, sometimes you'll stray away and you'll come back and try to get it in order. But see, you don't have a lot of time now to get it in order. You don't have a lot of time. You need to get it in order now. Because he can come on now if he wants to. We don't have time to keep wasting. And he's opening up our understanding to a lot of different things. He's opening up our minds to a lot of different things that we should know. And like she said, the Holy Ghost is here for us today. He is leading and directing us and stuff today. That's who Jesus left here for us. The Comforter, he's our companion, you know, and when you start calling up on him, and I always call, you know, pray to the Father. It's just habit, and I love all of them, you know, all of them. So I pray to him, and I thank and praise God. Anyone else need to say something on tonight? Because this is good. Amen. So I'm not going to keep you all, and I'm so grateful that everyone stayed on with me. You know, because I don't mind staying on. When we're talking about something and everybody is kind of commenting and getting into it, because we all need to know this. We all need to know it. I'm learning. You all are learning. I still don't know nothing. I don't know anything, but my Father in heaven knows everything. And that's the way I look at it for myself. I don't care what people say about me. I'd have had them tell me, you always say you don't know nothing, and I don't. I gave my will up. But what I do know is it's through Christ Jesus. So I thank and praise God for it on tonight. And I thank and praise God for all of you. So if there is nothing else, we're going to get ready to close out, and we'll be back here tomorrow for intercessory prayer, praise and testimony of service. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for your word on tonight. Father, we thank you right now for who you are in our lives, Lord. We thank you for opening up our understanding on tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone that's up under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Lord, for how you broke your word with us on tonight. I thank you right now, Father, for the Spirit, the Spirit man and the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, bless everyone that's under the sound of my voice. Bless their families on tonight. Keep them all covered in the shed blood of Jesus, and encamp your angels all around about them to protect them. In the name of Jesus, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen, and thank God. You all have a blessed night, and we will be back on for intercessory prayer. Prayer is the key, like I said. Amen. You all have a blessed night. I love you all. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Amen.